Welcome to Tips for the Transition, where we have deep, meaningful conversations about how significant changes can affect us, our families, relationships, and careers, and how we can move through those changes with more ease and grace. I'm your host, Maria Tomas Keegan, Certified Career and Life Coach for Women, and I'm here to help you navigate the messy seasons of life. In the fifth season of the podcast, we'll focus on career transition because in this post-pandemic world, many women are re-examining how they think and feel about their work lives. So we answer big questions like, who am I now? And how do I move on from here? The resources we create with each episode can help women move from panic to powerful and from rocky to resilient. So if you're ready to consider new options, be inspired, and meet incredible women who are on this life journey with us, you're in the right place. This is Tips for the Transition. I'm Maria Tomas Keegan, your host. We're doing another Tips and Tea with Maria episode today. And in these episodes, I share information and insights on topics related to change and transition. We're creating more resources for women who may wonder how to get through an upside-down time in their life. I hope you'll learn something new or remember something you already know, but maybe forgot. Today we're talking with a woman who teaches how to step up as a leader in your life and why it matters to take personal responsibility. We call this episode Retooling to Remain Relevant. Let me introduce you to Laura Prisk. She's a recognized expert in forming deep connections, creating a comfortable environment for growth, inspiring new ways of thinking, and synthesizing broad-ranging information into easily understood concepts. Laura works in the areas of leadership development, personal growth, organizational culture, communication, and creative thinking. It's because of all this beautiful expertise that I've asked her to speak with us today about what it takes for us to remain relevant in this fast-changing world we now live in. Welcome, Laura.
Hi, Maria. It's so good to see you again.
Well, thank you, and thanks so much for joining me. I'm really looking forward to this chat.
Oh, I have been as well. I feel really blessed that you invited me. This is going to be fun.
Oh, great. Great. Yes, and I love to have fun, so let's just do that. So as things around us are evolving so quickly and there's so much uncertainty, it's no wonder that people are facing questions and concerns about how they'll be affected by it all and what will happen to them in the new normal, if we can call it that. So let's set the stage for a minute and talk about what you mean when you say personal leadership and personal responsibility. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think that we're all leaders in our own lives, right? We're leading ourselves because we can and we should. If we don't, we put ourselves at the mercy of someone else deciding where we best fit and what we should become. And I think that doesn't allow us to be at our very best. So I think whether we have an official title or position of leadership, we are always still personal leaders. So we need to lead ourselves first. Personal responsibility, I think in this time especially, means something along the lines of just because you can doesn't mean you should. I think it means crafting the vision for who we choose to become, who we aspire to become, and being the drivers, the authors in our lives, and taking responsibility for our career growth, taking responsibility for our decisions and for our actions and for our growth.
You said some really interesting things there. Laura, I'd like to probe a little more deeply around this idea of personal leadership. So I talk about being able to write your own story. And if you don't like the way the story is going, you get to this is not how your story ends, right? It's how, it's where it begins.
Right.
What do you think about that?
I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, I've been telling people the same thing for years. We are the authors of our stories. And if we don't like the story we're living, we can choose differently, right? This isn't the whole book. This is just a chapter. And so we can edit the story we're in, right? We can write in a plot twist. We can bring in some new characters. We can even write out some characters who no longer fit our story. And that's really, truly one of the truths of personal growth. If you're not in a community that's growing, but you are, it's going to make some of the people around you uncomfortable. And so I encourage a lot of the people I work with, and even those that I don't work with, when you're on a growth journey, surround yourself with other people who are also on a growth journey. And that doesn't mean that all of the people who are currently in your life have to go, but maybe their capacity and their engagement with you changes.
Right. Maybe we don't see them as much or engage with them in ways that make us feel judged or less than, because
or held back.
Indeed. And I love that you said that we can be the editor of our story. I want to be clear that we can't edit what has happened, right? We can't change what's in the past, but we can edit forward.
And, oh, absolutely.
And change, right. And I love that you said plot twists and writing in new characters, you know, bringing the people into our lives whom we admire, whom we want to, who we aspire to be like, and who can help us. And kind of, I love the image of someone reaching down and pulling up, lifting, right? Lifting as we climb. I think that's great. So having the power to change our story is something a lot of people don't recognize they own. What do you have to say about that?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. And there's a whole lot of deep work to do here around mindset, belief systems, core values. You know, generations before us were kind of in the mindset of you go to work and you get a job and you do the job and it doesn't matter if you like it and it doesn't matter if the people are sketchy. If you don't agree with them, if you don't trust them, you just have to have the job and get the paycheck and the benefits. And you go do that thing for 30 or 40 years or whatever until you retire. And I think they meant well. I think that's what they believed was the thing at the time, but that's no longer true. You know, most people go through 7 different careers these days. And I don't mean levels in a career ladder. I mean shifting careers altogether, doing completely different kinds of work. So I think it's important to examine what we believe about how career and growth and creativity are supposed to be, and really discover what's true for us, because the beliefs we've been given by the well-meaning people around us may not really fit us, but we have to look at them first to know.
And I think that's that journey of discovery helps us to define what our purpose is. So what are we here to do? Mm. Like you said, if we look back at our parents, and maybe even in my case, it's the way I was raised by my parents to get an education, get a job, stay in the job, and make a paycheck and, you know, get promoted within the job and be satisfied with that. And I did that for a very long time. And it wasn't until my career ended that I realized, I looked back and realized that I wasn't all that satisfied with what I had been doing in my life. And it was a struggle to figure out, now who am I? And what do I do next? And it took that kind of that deep soul searching to understand, what do I believe in today? And do those old beliefs that I've been harboring forever, do they really fit me today? Do they serve me well? Yeah, I totally agree with that. The other thing I think, you touched on values. Let's talk about that for a minute. One of the things I talk about with my clients is how knowing what your core values are, actually doing a deep self-assessment to figure that out today, how that can help become a decision-making tool. What do you say about that?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. I think our core values are the guiding compass, really, that help us discern where we spend our time, where we invest our resources, our money, where we prioritize how we do those things, right? For example, if I say to you, health and wellness are one of my core values, very important to me. But if you look at my calendar right now, you're not going to see that I have blocked out time for specific physical fitness activities. And if you looked at my checkbook, you wouldn't see that I've been spending money necessarily on personal training or health equipment or even, you know, specific more healthy food and nutrition kinds of things. What you would discover if you looked at my schedule and my checkbook are that I've been investing time, money, and energy in creative outputs. I've been buying art supplies, and I've been spending time learning to paint and to doodle and to stitch. So that would give you the better reflection of what I'm actually valuing right now at this season in my life. But you're right. I think we need to do that deep self-discovery kind of exploration to discern what really are my core values and how are they serving me. And also to know that those values may shift over time at different seasons in your life. Some of them may remain steady, fast, and true your entire life, and some may not. But it's important to do that work and discern what's true for you.
And I love that you said that, and to revisit that work, because you're so right. As we evolve, as we move into new situations in our lives, you called them seasons, and I love that you said that. Our core values need to be reevaluated so that they allow us to make or they help us to make choices and decisions in our lives based on what's important to us now and not what was important to us then or was important to someone else, right? I remember so well living a large number of years of my life married to a man, and I compromised my values just to keep the peace. So when we recognize that and then get deep dive into, so what is really important to me so that you can live by those, I think it's hugely important. And it's a part of that personal leadership and personal responsibility thing, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, how do you craft and create a life that is not only satisfying to you, but allows you to contribute and add value to your friends, your family, your community, the world in a bigger way if you're living somebody else's story based on somebody else's value and following what they told you you should do? If it's not true for you, you will never be comfortable, you will never be satisfied, and you won't be able to contribute at that great high level that you could if you were authentically you.
Right. And you know, not to leave out being happy, right?
Right.
Right. Being happy with yourself, being happy with your life, being, yeah. You touched on something about just a moment ago that makes me think about how important having a crystal clear vision for that life is. It is part based on your values, right? So what do you really believe your life is? What do you want it to become? And having a vision for that so that you can create your own roadmap to get there. And again, based on what you believe today and the values you hold today and what your strengths are and even what your weaknesses are, having that vision is very important.
Oh, absolutely. Because otherwise, I think you're just getting up every day and living on autopilot, you know?
Going through the motions.
Yeah, this is what I do when I get up, and this is what I do on Monday, and this is how Tuesday goes, and now it's Friday, and I can have the weekend, and this year will be the same as last year, and you know, without that clear vision of what you aspire to create through your life and your work and your relationships, you're kind of living Groundhog Day, just doing stuff to get through it, but not really being as fulfilled or as creative as you could be.
Right. So stepping into our power to create our life the way we want it is part of that, personal leadership. And let's touch on personal responsibility a little bit more. You related it to this time that we are in right now, which is this COVID-19 world that we live in, and how it's starting to open up again, and people are doing some things that I wouldn't do myself. Everyone has to make their own decision about that. And, you know, my hope is that people are making decisions not based just on themselves, right? But that they are making decisions that won't harm anyone else as well. That's my definition of personal responsibility.
I agree with you, absolutely. And I think, you know, just because people in leadership positions, whether it's the mayor or the governor or the president, you know, whatever level you want to look at, just because they say, okay, we can open up now, doesn't necessarily mean that's the right thing for you, your business, your family, your community, your customers, you know. So I think it's that personal responsibility to really contemplate what's going on, what the consequences could be if you open, if you don't, what kind of precautions you might need to take to do it safely, and like Maria said, not do that harm. So I think it's within us to be responsible for that. And I've heard some people really saying, you know, they told us we could reopen, but I'm not quite ready to do that yet because I'm not sure how to make sure everything in my business is okay and safe, not only for my customers, but for my employees.
Right.
And so it goes back to that thought of just because you can doesn't mean you should. You know, you have to really sit with what's going on and what you're responsible for, what you're comfortable with, and make that personal decision for yourself. What's the right thing?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that this whole idea it doesn't just hold true for the world we're living in right at this very moment with this COVID-19. But you know, that's the case with everything in our lives, right? Being personally responsible so that we are not just thinking of ourselves. And that's not to say that we should only think of others. We absolutely need to start with us and understand what it is we feel is our responsibility to ourselves and to others. So there's a fine line there, isn't there?
There is. And, you know, one of the really key life-changing lessons I learned a number of years ago was that intent does not equal impact. What it is we believe we're putting out into the world isn't necessarily how people are experiencing us. And they can't see our intent because it's in here. Unless we explicitly state our intentions, they just get whatever the outcome is, however it impacted them, however they interpreted it.
Right. It's perception, right?
Right. And, you know, I think of so many things that people have done or said that may have been well-intended that have just gone horribly wrong. And so it just really requires this level of higher self-awareness to understand that not everybody's in the same place you are. They don't have the same beliefs. They don't have the same values, that whole lens of how we view and experience the world. And so I think to be personally responsible and responsible in community requires a little bit different, a bigger scope of perspective and thinking.
Yeah, and it just makes me think too that it also requires us to withhold judgment about others because they have the same rights we do, and they have the same desires of their own. Right? Mm-hmm. So they're looking for an outcome that may be different from what we're looking for. Yeah.
And you can't see it, right? You don't know what everybody else's experience has been to get them to today. You don't know what they're going through, what they're struggling with, what they're dealing with, what they're afraid of. And so, it's very easy and quick to jump to judgment, but we really don't know. And they don't know about us.
Right. Unless we start opening up and talking to each other, right? And then communicating in ways that can share our intent so that you can actually have a dialogue about our differences, right? Our diversity, and let that work for us rather than against us.
It reminds me of the saying that says, seek first to understand and then to be understood.
Yes. Yes. Laura, this has been a great discussion. I'm so glad you are here to dig into this with me. Let's be sure we leave our viewers with some tangible tips that will help them retool to remain relevant. So let's talk for just a second about what we mean by that title, retooling to remain relevant. What do you think?
Well, I think that if we're going to continue to grow into our potential and to continue to grow through the work that we do, that we have to keep growing ourselves. I don't think it's I got my college degree and now I'm done kind of thing. And so for me, retooling might be upgrading a current skill set. It might be adding new skills. It might be even for some, not just a career path advancement, but for some people, it's that total career shift. Like, I've been doing this for 7 years now, and I'm no longer getting joy out of it, and something else has really been calling to me. So maybe it's the exploration of whatever that is that's been calling to you, but there's work to be done to keep ensuring our skills are relevant and up to date with modern technology, modern thinking, you know, business models, different kinds of factors in our work lives. And I think it's up to us to keep retooling so we do remain relevant and attractive and viable.
I could not agree more. I'm working with clients today who are so much has shifted in their worlds. From a career standpoint, some of them have been laid off because of the world situation. Some of them are now working from home when they were working in offices before, so they're learning how to work differently. Some of those people are actually loving working at home and thinking, how do I continue to do this? And what do I need to do to be able to do that, which may mean doing something different than they've been doing, right? Mm-hmm. And then there are some who have been furloughed or laid off, and they are about retirement age, and they're thinking, how do I shift into, you know, retirement in this environment? And all of those things require retooling, mm-hmm. right? So I talk with my clients a lot about figuring out how to differentiate yourself. And, you know, going back to our earlier discussion about considering what you believe and what your values are and your strengths and your weaknesses, and getting a, you know, a clearer picture of who you are today and who you want to become and how and what's your vision for getting there. You know, all of that comes into play. So for you, from your standpoint, what would be the first tip you would give for someone who is thinking about the need to retool? Or how do they figure out even if they need to retool?
I think the first step really is to take some time out to think. And I mean actively think new thoughts, not recycling this morning's thoughts or yesterday's thoughts, but to actively give yourself some time to sit down and imagine. If I could step into this next season of my life, maybe it's a year, maybe it's 2 years, 18 months, things change so fast now, I wouldn't make a really big time horizon. But imagine, what would my life be like if I had just an amazing next year? What kind of work would I be doing? Where would I be living? How would I be spending my free time? All of those kinds of facets, and give yourself permission to imagine and just write it all out. Because if you don't have that clear vision in mind, you're just, you know, going through the days wherever the flow takes you. So that first step is, you know, what is it that I want to become? What do I want to move into? And then back from that, think into, where am I today? Here's where I'm going. What are the steps along the way that I need to take? Who are the people I need to know? Are there some skills I need to either upgrade or acquire completely new from scratch? And then look into the best avenues for you to do that. It might be going back to school for an official degree. It might be a weekend workshop. It might be an evening seminar. It might be an online certificate program. It will vary for each of us. But the first crucial step is that, what do I want to become next?
Boy, you've touched on so many things there. There are lots of tips in that in that one segment. So making sure you have a vision, right? Giving yourself time to create that vision, writing it down. That's so important. Mm-hmm. So important. Because when we write things down, they become, we get them out of our heads, right? And they can start to crystallize. Mm-hmm. And you also said, you know, figure out what the gap is, right? Where are you today? Where do you want to be? And what's the gap? And what do you need to do to fill that gap? And setting small goals. So here's another tip that just goes right along with that. Setting small goals, taking small steps to get you from here to there. Because when you take small steps, then it's much easier to pivot from there rather than taking this giant leap and trying to make it all happen at once. Mm-hmm. It's much harder to regroup. And so, yeah, setting small goals that will get you there. And then, you know, I think also we need people to help hold us accountable. We need mm-hmm. to let people know what we're doing so that we have, and you said it earlier, having people who are surround us, who can help us and keep us in line with what we said we want to do, who we want to become, and how we want to get there.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's important to, like I said earlier, surround ourselves with people who have that growth mindset, yeah. who are all already in the process of growing as well. You know, I've long been a student of personal growth stuff, like from the very youngest age, I was asking, you know, what am I here for? Why am I here? And I would be, you know, probably the youngest person in the self-help area of the bookstore looking for what's my purpose kind of books.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me at all.
And so I'm hardwired for learning. If I could be in a learning space all day, every day, and figure out how to make a living doing that, I would. But it's even though I did a lot of that work on my own, when I finally engaged a coach, the speed and the distance that I traveled in terms of my thinking and my mindset and my skills and my focus accelerated by light years. I can't even tell you how much faster it went to go with someone who had been on that same journey already and could help me think it through and avoid some of the potholes that we inevitably step in without a guide.
Without a guide. Yeah. I have long often said that everybody needs a coach in this life. And I have had many and mentors, right? Mm-hmm. Many through my career, my long corporate career and today and since I left the corporate world and became an entrepreneur and have my own practice, I continue to have coaches and I believe in them highly. And you're so right. If they give us the opportunity to kind of see ourselves in a mirror, right? They can mirror back to us. And then we get to see kind of the ourselves from a different perspective, from through someone else's eyes. And that there's so much benefit in that. We get to just get curious. And, you know, I love to ask this question of clients who are struggling with an event that has happened that it feels like it was done to them, right? And they feel kind of victimized. So what if it was your idea? So it's just changing our perspective, having someone just share a new way of thinking, a new way of looking at things. That's so important. And whether that's a coach or a mentor or a good friend, or like you said, somebody that is in that growth mindset who can just brainstorm with you. All of those things are so beneficial. These are great tips.
Can I add one more to that?
Oh, please.
It made me think that it's important to be mindful of who we bring into that space with us. Because not everybody's going to share your new vision for who you want to become or what you want to do. Not everybody's going to be supportive of that. Even if they're people really close to you and they love you, when you start changing and growing, you become a little unpredictable, right? They're used to how you have been all this time.
Right.
And now you're thinking differently and doing different things and aspiring to bigger stuff. And that will make some of the people around you uncomfortable. So even though they love you and want what's good for you, they're going to try to pull you back and keep you who you've been because it's more comfortable for them. So be right. Mindful of who you let in on your new dream of what you want to become and create, and make sure that there are people who will love and support and encourage you along the way.
That's so important. I've had several instances in my life where I had to let go of someone or let them take a back seat in my life or kind of force them into a back seat sometimes in my life because I felt unloved because of their behavior, their lack of support, what I was doing. I can't tell you how many times I heard from family members and friends when I left the corporate world, and I was very successful then, and decided to start my own business. They thought I was crazy, And what are you doing? Why don't you just go get another job? And it's not what I wanted to do. And I had to, it took me a while because I did feel held back. It took me a while to put them out of my, I've heard this called so many things. I call it my personal board of directors. Those are the people who do support me. Some people call it your first class cabin or your front row. You get to choose my band of angels. I like that one too. But you get to choose who those people are. And when you realize that you get to choose that, even though you can still love people who are not in your front row, right? Mm-hmm. Or on your board of directors, you can still love them. They can still love you. They just don't get to have input mm-hmm. to where you're going. That's such an important tip. Thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome. It goes back to that being the author of your story and writing the plot twists and changing the roles of the characters in your story.
Right. That's right. That is so right. You think this is a good place to end this one, Laura? Do you have anything else?
My one last observation on that and what I've discovered as I've really thought about the people who, like you, when I left the corporate world, who said, what are you thinking? You must be crazy. You can't go do that. When I started really thinking about who they were and who I was, what I realized was they were projecting their insecurity about what they might be capable of or what they were afraid of onto me and what I was doing. It wasn't really about me at all. So that's one thing that I think is really important to recognize. And also, when you're going through these shifts and retooling to remain relevant, sometimes we need to borrow the belief others have in ourselves and our ability to be successful while we either build some new confidence or rebuild some broken confidence. I think that's my final tip today, Maria.
Oh, thank you for letting that be the final. Borrow the belief from someone else who believes in you when you don't have that. I just got goosies. I love that. Borrow the belief. So I'm going to repeat it. Borrow the belief from someone else who believes highly in you until you believe in yourself the same way. I love that, Laura. Thank you so much. You know, thanks for sharing your wisdom and your experience and for being with us today. I would love to share how people can get a hold of you if they would like to connect directly with you. So what's the best way they can do that?
Well, really, truly the easiest way is just by email, laura@laurapriske.com. And if you're curious about who I am and what I'm doing, laurapriske.com pretty much tells the story.
Wonderful. And we'll have that sitting at the bottom of the screen so people can make note of that. So again, thank you, Laura, for being with us.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun to be with you today.
Thank you. I hope these tips will help you to feel more empowered and equipped to consider how you want to retool so you remain relevant in this fast-changing world we're living in. Thank you so much for being a part of our community. My mission as a coach is to share resources with women like my book, my programs, and these recordings so the tips and life strategies can help you when life turns your world upside down. I want to help put the pieces back together again in a new way so you can turn right side up again. I invite you to share the show with the women in your life so none of us will ever again feel like we are alone. And if you want to chat about your own personal situation with one of my guests or with me, please feel free to reach out to us. Many of us have gone through lots of life experiences, and we're here to help you get through your journey with more ease and grace. I believe it's our time to thrive. Will you join me on that ride? Till next time, I'm Maria Tomas-Keegan.